Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption and have placed over 5,200 children into loving homes. Since 1990, Adoption Associates has advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping all families grow through the adoption process is important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and the mid-Michigan Saginaw area, and our private adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly podcast, so we are very grateful to you, our listener, for being with us and listening to our program. We hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. And today I am happy to be talking about a subject that we have not yet discussed on the podcast. And the title of today's program is What You Need to Know About Michigan's Central Adoption Registry. And our guest who is with us today is Connie Stevens. Connie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jennifer.
Thank you very much for taking time out of what I know is a very busy schedule to come and share some information about the Central Adoption Registry. And Connie, I'd like to start with, if you could, with having you tell us a little bit about yourself, your role, and the work that you do.
Certainly. I am a licensed social worker in the state of Michigan. And I've been practicing in the field of foster care and adoption for over 25 years now. I've been working with the state of Michigan in my current role since 2013. And I am the Central Adoption Registry and Post-Adoption Inquiry Analyst.
Nice. And you said, so for several years now you've been in this role. So I know you have a lot of insight into this topic, and that's why it was important that we wanted you to come and be with us. For those people that are listening, I know some people may be very familiar with even the word Central Adoption Registry, and some may not. So if you could, Connie, tell us, what is the Central Adoption Registry in Michigan, as well as what is its purpose?
Well, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services maintains the Central Adoption Registry, and the Central Adoption Registry was created by statute in 1994 and became effective in January of 1995. Basically, what it is, it's a file and a database that contains the written consent or denial statements from biological family members who are placing their desires within the registry, so that when the adult adoptee were to come searching for information about their birth family, we would have this consent or denial on file, which would allow us to release their contact information as it was provided to us.
Okay, so the registry must contain multiple thousands worth of files. Is that correct?
Oh yes, tens of thousands. Yes.
Wow. And who is it that is allowed to access the registry information?
Well, the Central Adoption Registry is obviously contains highly confidential information, and it is not accessible by an individual. The Central Adoption Registry is accessible by the entity that is working for a requesting person who's searching for information. So whether it's a court that's working with an adult adoptee, or whether it's a private agency that's working with an adult adoptee, or a birth family member, or DHHS, which is the acronym that I'll be using for the Department of Health and Human Services. When someone approaches one of those entities to search for information about an adoptee or a birth family, the Central Adoption Registry must be checked for consents or denials from birth family members prior to releasing any information. And again, that is by state of Michigan statute.
Okay, and so if you were to receive a phone call from an adult adoptee requesting or wanting information, what would you ask of them? What would they need to do?
Well, first, you would want to determine who holds their adoption record, their closed adoption record. And only an entity that holds their records could obviously respond to their request for information and or search the Central Adoption Registry for possible consents or denials. So, for example, your agency retains permanently all of your adoption records. So an adult adoptee that was placed for adoption through your agency would start their search for information about birth family with your agency.
Okay.
An adult adoptee that was placed for adoption through the child welfare system, the state of Michigan MDHHS would hold their closed adoption record. So the adult adoptee would make their request here to my office for information from their closed adoption record.
And if an individual is uncertain about what agency, if it was private, and they just were unsure, they didn't even have that information, what would their next step need to be?
Well, if I speak with them, if I have an opportunity to speak with them, I can try to help them discern where they might begin their search for information, but ultimately they can simply kind of answer the questions if they were informed. Was I placed for adoption through the child welfare system? Was I removed from my biological parents due to abuse or neglect and then placed in foster care and ultimately adopted? Did I come to be adopted through a private agency, whether it's an international adoption agency or a private agency that does domestic infant adoption? Sometimes, you know, they usually know those answers, but if they don't know any of that, I always suggest you start with the state first. We hold the largest number of closed adoption records. We have records that we've retained permanently since the late 1800s. And begin your search with the state. And if we don't have your record here, I will then make a recommendation in my letter on where you should search next. And that will either be an agency and/or the court. The courts always retain adoption information for every adoption that they presided over or confirmed. So there is always some information about every adoption at the court that confirmed or finalized that adoption. So
okay,
you can always turn to the court for that.
Okay. And so let's jump ahead a little bit. If an individual has identified the agency that assisted in their adoption and the agency does reach out to the Central Adoption Registry for information, you mentioned before that there will be a determination. What's in that database states whether or not there is a consent or a denial. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means, a consent or a denial that has been filed, so that individuals maybe can understand what that means?
Yes, those consent or denial forms are actual forms that are available on our website. that any biological parent or biological sibling can, and the adoptee themselves, can print off of our website and complete them and provide their, either check the box, I give consent, or I do not give consent, to release their name and identifying information to the adult adoptee. If they're one-page forms, we recommend that those be updated anytime you have a change in address, they have a change in address or phone number, because that's the information that would be provided to the adult adoptee should they come search, wherever they come and search. A clearance form to the Central Adoption Registry will come in, and we will respond appropriately. Either, yes, we have a birth mother's consent, no, we have no consents on file, we have a sister's or a brother's consent, and we provide those to the entity that's doing the search for information, to that court or agency.
If there is no consent at all that's been filed, whether it's a denial or otherwise, what does that mean for the adult adoptee if that is the individual that's seeking the information?
Sure. Well, that is a larger issue. Currently, the laws in the state of Michigan, there's two dates that determine what type of information an adult adoptee can receive. And in the state of Michigan, if parental rights, your biological parents' parental rights, were terminated before May 28th, 1945, and after September 12th, 1980, you can receive all of the identifying information in your closed adoption records if there is no denial on file from your biological parent. So that means if there is no denial, there's nothing in the registry, we send back, there's no statements in the registry, then the entity that's working with the adult adoptee can release to them birth parent name, last known address, and you know, full names of siblings, all of that that is contained in those closed adoption records. Also within the current adoption statute for the state of Michigan, if biological parents' parental rights were terminated between those dates, so between May 28, 1945 and September 12, 1980, between those dates, you have to have, or we have to have, consent from the biological parents in order to release identifying information. So there has to be written consent in the Central Adoption Registry. So if there is no consent, there are no statements, then that adult adoptee will get only non-identifying information.
Okay. So that's why it's also very important for individuals to hopefully reach out to the entity that assisted them or assisted in their adoption originally, because this is very involved in what you're describing to us here. What would you say are the limitations of the registry?
Well, the limitations of the registry is, unfortunately, not all biological family members know that it exists. So certainly it's just education that this exists, that they can place their consent in the registry. You know, a biological sibling can even place there's a form that is a proxy form for a deceased parent. So if the biological parent is deceased, the biological sibling can place consent in the registry as a proxy for the deceased parent. So If there is consent in the registry, that makes things very easy as far as an adult adoptee being able to obtain the identifying information about their biological family. And that's usually what they're searching for, their names and how to connect with them.
And what about a situation, Connie, where a child is not yet 18 years old and an adoptive parent wants to assist a minor in getting information? Are there guidelines for that?
Well, there is. The adoptive parents of a minor adopted child can receive information from their child's closed adoption records, but only non-identifying information. And they would contact the entity that confirmed their adoption or assisted in their adoption in order to obtain that. However, they should have received that information at the time of the adoption. By law, all of that information should be provided to the adopting family at the time of the adoption. However, we do know sometimes that information is destroyed in a natural disaster or misplaced or lost, and DHHS or the private agency can replace that information after receiving a request for it.
And you mentioned earlier identifying information, and then just now you mentioned non-identifying. Could you take a minute to help our listeners understand the distinction between identifying and non-identifying information?
Well, identifying information is the actual names, dates of birth, last known address of biological parents and or, biological siblings that's listed in the record. And along with that, they would also get the more narrative, descriptive information about their biological family or how they came into care or came to be adopted. And that is more non-identifying information, you know, such as their ethnicity, their religious background, a physical description of the parent. That's all information that's considered non-identifying. And an adoptee can obtain that at any time. Their age and sex of their siblings, what the parents, birth parents' occupations were, their educational level, the circumstances that brought them to make the decision or have the child placed for adoption, whether it was involuntary or voluntary. All of that information is considered non-identifying. The only thing that makes it, obviously identifying is information is when you can then get their full names, dates of birth, last known address, those things.
Okay, thank you for that. What would you say are some of the common misunderstandings related to what the registry does or can provide?
Well, the Central Adoption Registry is exclusively just that file and database of the denial or consent statements from biological family members or the adult adoptee themselves. And the release of information from a closed adoption record is something separate. However, what someone gets as far as the information that they will receive is dependent upon what is in the Central Adoption Registry. So they're connected, but they're two very different roles or two very different processes.
I see. And I know, Connie, you said earlier that We're talking today about the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Central Adoption Registry. Do you know if a similar type of registry exists in all other states or some other states, or do you have any information about that?
Yes, I don't have any specific information, but yes, I do know that other states, have similar registries for birth parent and birth sibling statements, and some states have adoption statutes very similar to ours, that depending upon if there's a consent or denial, what information will be released. Some states have completely open adoption records, and the only thing that prevents that would be a denial. So every state is different.
Okay. We are nearing the end of our podcast for today, and I'm wondering if, Connie, there's any other important aspects of the Central Adoption Registry that we haven't discussed that maybe we should, or any other thoughts that you'd like to make sure we talk about before we finish?
Well, I guess one of the most important things is again to remember that the Central Adoption Registry is not accessible to an individual. A birth parent or an adult adoptee or a biological sibling cannot simply contact DHHS and ask that the registry be checked. That is part of a process for requesting information about an adoptee, or the adoptee requesting information about birth family, and then ultimately, again, the court, the state, or the agency will access the registry for them, which will then determine what type of information they will get. The other piece of information is I want to just make known that a denial does not forever seal identifying information to the adult adoptee. The death of the biological parent, confirmation of that by a death certificate does supersede a denial.
Okay.
A denial form in the registry.
And I think that you touched on this earlier about who is able to have their name on the registry, or to include or submit this form to the registry. Is it birth parents only? And maybe elaborate just a little bit about what individuals are allowed to submit their information.
Yes, it is birth parents and siblings that are biological and or through adoption to the adult adoptee can submit their consent or denial. So siblings and birth parents. And then again, as I said, siblings can submit a proxy form for their deceased parent, and there is a separate form for that also must include a copy of the death certificate.
I see. Okay. Do you ever have adult adoptees wanting to have information included in the registry as well?
Yes, we do there is a form that is available to the adoptees as well, and it is a release of information authorization form. It doesn't quite say consent or denial, but it is a authorization form which allows the adoptee's current identifying information to be shared with biological parents or adult siblings should they come searching for them.
Okay. And if somebody listening maybe wanted to understand this or learn a little more information, is there a website or a place that they could go to just to read some of the guidelines and get a better understanding, Connie?
Yes. You would want to look in the website www.michigan.gov/MDHHS, which stands for Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. And when that main page comes up, you'll want to click through the foster care adoption portal, and it will provide you links to all these forms that we're discussing, information about the Central Adoption Registry, and information about Michigan's current adoption laws, and other resources that are available to members of the adoption triad.
That's wonderful, wonderful information. Thank you so much, Connie, for today. I know that that this is a topic, as I said earlier, that we hadn't previously discussed, and that I think there is a great deal of misunderstanding about. And even as an adoption professional, it's a great refresher for me, and I know for some of our staff as well. So we appreciate you very much for being on Adoption Focus today.
Well, thank you for having me.
For those of you that are listening and interested potentially in connecting with Adoption Associates for information, you can feel free to call us at 800-677-2367. You can also visit us on our web at adoptionassociates.net. Once again, we appreciate you being in support of our Adoption Focus program. We will continue on Tuesdays to provide some live episodes as well as some archived episodes of our podcast. Feel free to reach out to us if there's a topic that you're interested in us exploring more. We would love to hear from you on that. And a big thank you once again to Connie for today. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. I hope you all have a great day. Bye-bye.